1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to read verses 7 through 10 and 27 to 31. So some of these we have read already in previous weeks. Verse 7, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And now you get one of the most condensed lists of corporate gifts that might operate at any time, where he says, "To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits." And we'll talk about tongues and interpretation in chapter 14, where Paul dedicates a chapter to it. But now verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret?" Rhetorical, no. But then he says, "Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. And yet I will show you the most excellent way." And that is my title this morning. You can be seated. Is the most excellent way, as we continue kind of part two of these messages about the gifts. 2 weeks ago, we had part one about the gifts, about how the gifts are for the common good. And a clear pattern emerged as we looked at the text that the gifts are not about us. They're not about personal spotlight. They're not about building up our name. Rather, the gifts are about what leads to the most good for the church. And so let's review those verses real quickly. It says, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good," verse 7. "Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit," chapter 14, "try to excel in those that would build up the church." Ephesians 4:12, we operate in the gifts so that the body of Christ might be built up. And then it says, "Eagerly desire the greater gifts." And what Paul means when he says that is the ones that lead to the most common good, that benefit the church the most. That's what he means by greater gifts. And therefore, we said it requires really careful and prayerful discernment and a constant openness and even spontaneity when it comes to the gifts, because different gifts might be needed at different times in order to build up the body of Christ in the moment. So let me just start with an example or a story of how sometimes the gifts can surprise us. We might not even be aware that we're operating in them until the moment or even after upon reflection. So as a church, we had sort of been half-heartedly looking for a church administrator. We had just been filling that with part-time, kind of temporary people who were awesome, but who were just kind of filling in and didn't want the role long-term. We even toyed with the idea of a connections pastor role, and we put out an advert. We had applications sitting there and ready, but we had just kind of, you know, paused. We weren't really sure, but that was potentially the direction we were heading. And then one Sunday morning, after the service, I was talking to the Staples family here at the church. And honestly, just out of nowhere, something happened kind of in my spirit. It almost felt like suddenly not my own mouth speaking. And I just kind of uncharacteristically and boldly said to Steph, "So when are you going to quit your job and come work full-time at the church?" I hadn't planned it. I didn't like come into the Sunday being like, "I'm going to find them in the lobby today," or anything. It wasn't pre-planned. I hadn't discussed it with anything, and it kind of jarred them a little bit almost. But I think we were also all kind of a little bit surprised when even right there in that lobby, there was this sort of immediate feeling of seriousness, like maybe the Lord is speaking in this moment right now. Like maybe there seems to be something on this. And so the rest is kind of history. Within a few weeks, Steph left her nice, fairly predictable and safe full-time job to come work in this fairly unpredictable, ever-changing workplace to take on the great challenge of working with me. And you know God has to be speaking if somebody's willing to do that. But reflecting back, I truly believe it was a message of knowledge or wisdom or whatever you want to call it, not gifts, honestly, I normally operate in. And it's now, you know, received, I think, so much confirmation since then that it was just the right word, the right gift for the right time that was needed to build up God's church. Because even since that moment, we just continued and began to rapidly continue to grow and had, you know, lots of visitors and all the renos were going on. And I feel like we never would have survived all that without somebody here to help out. So only God knows what's best and will lead to the most common good in the moment. So we need to be regularly attentive to God's Spirit. Remember we said the gifts, they're not static, meaning we don't just say, I have this gift and this is just the gift I have and the one that I offer, but rather they're actually dynamic, meaning we say, Lord, I don't really know necessarily what might be the best gift, the right gift that you want me to operate in at this time, but I'm open to your Spirit, and I want to use gifts that would build up the church, whatever they might be. And so we concluded that an attitude of humility is really paramount, for we do not know what will lead to the most common good, and therefore we must seek the Lord. And in fact, that's what chapter 13 is all about, where are you? Where's that wire? Okay. There it is. Just want to get behind me, Satan. There we go. Okay. All right. I was quoting scripture there in case you didn't know. That's what chapter 13 is all about, which we'll get into next week. And, you know, you might know chapter 13 as the love chapter, right? That's, you know, it often gets read at weddings and other occasions. But did you know that chapter 13, and it's most specific meaning is actually about how to approach the spiritual gifts. It's sandwiched right between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, which are all about how the gifts should operate in the church. And so what Paul is saying by putting chapter 13 in the middle there is that the gifts are all about love. When he says at the end of chapter 12, I will show you now the more excellent way, it's implied that he means the most excellent way to operate in the gifts, which is, as he's about to say in the chapter next week, love. Paul preaches in chapter 13 that love does not envy the gifts of others. It does not boast, implied, about one's own gifts. It's not prideful or self-seeking when it comes to the gifts. Rather, it always protects others as well as the church. And you may now never have read chapter 13 in that light, but I encourage you to do so. When we start to see the spiritual gifts as expressions of love, we will more eagerly desire the gifts, because the gifts all trace back to God's love as a way for God to show love to us that, you know, somehow, believe it or not, God seems to be paying attention to our meager little lives and speaks into them and heals bodies. God cares who our church administrator is. God is showing his love through the gifts. They are signs of God's intimate love for us, and it's really quite amazing. Some of you know the story of how Hannah and I came to Oceanside when we were discerning where the Lord was leading us, had zero connection to the island, didn't know anybody on the island, had been there once for one night my whole life. But as we were praying and discerning, in a short period of time, there were two visions and words that people gave to us who had no idea what we were doing and what we were discerning, and that this was one of the churches that we were praying about. And one was about a lighthouse on the other side of the ocean, and that that lighthouse was supposed to guide us. And another one was Jesus standing on the other side of the water, calling us to come across the water. And neither of these people had any idea that we were considering going to Vancouver Island. But it was confirmation that this is where the Lord is leading us. And the Lord confirmed it in other ways too, and it's often him using all kinds of different ways. But God's paying attention. He's paying attention to my little life. He's paying attention to our little church. God cares. God loves. So the most excellent way to operate in the gifts is in love and in humility. So I want to spend the rest of the time talking about how this might work, how we might try this. So it says, since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit in chapter 14, try to excel in those that build up the church. So this is a biblical command that we should try to excel in the gifts. And hopefully now we all have the base of, not for our own sake, I think we get that, right? We try to excel in the gifts because we love the church. We love God's church and we want to build it up. So how do we do this? Well, I think there's a lot of overlap between the gifts of the message of wisdom and the message of knowledge and prophecy and even healing and all of these things, faith and healing. And I'm really of the opinion that we don't always really know even what gifts we're operating in, and that's okay. It doesn't really matter. But here's my one goal for this morning as we continue this learning journey together, that I want everyone, and I mean everyone, who has the Spirit of God received through salvation, to be open to the gifts. Verse 6 of chapter 12 here tells us that God is at work in everyone. Yes, even messed up people like you and me. And as long as we operate in love and humility, then there should be great freedom to create an environment where we can all practice the gifts together without fear. It's a spider. So we have a few policies here that we follow because we want to take the utmost care with how we do this together and make sure we make room for the gifts. So the key, again, is operating in a spirit of humility and love, the most excellent way, because we know that we are finite beings, right? We can make mistakes. Sometimes we hear what we want to hear rather than hearing what God is actually saying. And so you'll notice when someone, you know, comes forward in a service, when we make time sometimes to listen and wait on the Lord, we'll always say, you know, so-and-so feels they have a word from the Lord, right? Or so-and-so, might have a word from the Lord for us or something similar to that, rather than so-and-so has received a word from the Lord, right? The reason we do that is just, it's to protect that person and to protect all of us, and just kind of make room to listen to what God might be saying. So we encourage people to kind of say, you know, I believe the Lord would say, or I feel like God might be saying this. That's kind of just operating in humility. And the right way to approach this, whether you have a word for, you know, an individual person, or it's for the congregation as a whole, is to kind of just take the burden and the pressure off of yourself and to just kind of say something, you know, like this, that, you know, I could be wrong, I could be off, but I just want to be obedient to the Lord. I want to try to excel in the gifts. And I feel like the Lord is telling me, you know, to share with you that whatever it might be, you're coming to a season of breakthrough, or the Lord is giving me the word patience for you, and I don't know if I'm right, I could be wrong, but if that kind of sets in your heart, if that sounds like the Lord speaking to you, then receive it, or just put it aside for now, or whatever it might be, right? But if we say, God told me, or the Lord showed me, especially when it's in relation to someone else's life, we're potentially messing with people's lives, and we have to be really careful. If someone comes up here and says, you know, this is the word of the Lord. God says we need to stop putting sugar in our coffee. Immediately. Cease. God says, put down that sugary filth and never touch it again. Now, personally, I'd say amen, because I believe the only way to truly drink coffee, if you like it, is black. But just saying. So, I mean, it sounds like something God would say, but if you say it that way, that's potentially condemning. And even if we feel that, you know, this supposed word from the Lord is wrong, the problem is we still have that thought in the back of our head that, well, what if they were right? What if they were hearing from the Lord? Am I being disobedient if I put sugar in my coffee? Is God going to be mad at me? Right? And then we start dealing with unnecessary guilt and condemnation. But compare that with this. Hey, guys, I know this is a weird word that I feel I'm getting from the Lord. I don't really understand it. I'm almost a little embarrassed by it. But just in case it is from God, I want to be obedient. I don't want to ignore the voice of the Lord. I don't want to quench the Spirit. So here goes. I feel like God is saying something about not putting sugar in your coffee. That may be for the whole church. It might just be for one person. Maybe there's a meaning in there that I don't really understand that will make sense to you in your heart where God's confirming something. But, you know, I just want to take a chance and put it out there in case it really is God speaking. See how different that is? Still trying to be obedient to the Lord. And it's creating a safe space where we can try to excel in the gifts, creating space to try, but also allows everyone the freedom to weigh it and discern it and consider it. There's no guilt or condemnation there. There's still freedom to put sugar in your coffee if you feel like that wasn't necessarily a word for me. It didn't resonate with my spirit. The reason I'm giving a little bit of a silly example is to show that we can have the freedom to take some risks. That even if the word is as silly as that, we can actually create a space where we can consider something like that. Even a weird word about sugar, as long as we're operating in humility. And I can't imagine why we would want to do it another way. I mean, I don't want to play God, do you? I don't want to be the Holy Spirit. But I do want to be used by the spirits, and that's how God has set it up to work. And so I want to be involved in the way God wants it to work. So take the burden off of yourself. I share what the Lord might be saying or you feel he's saying, but let the Holy Spirit do the confirming. Let the other person receive the confirmation, right? What if I had said to Steph in the lobby, like, this is the word of the Lord, you must receive this. Right, and even though it was kind of like sudden and I wasn't, you know, planning, but if I had done that, it would have put this really pressure on, right? But actually what we want is the other person to receive confirmation that this is from the Lord. As Paul instructs in 1 Corinthians 14:29, that we are to weigh carefully what is said, and he's talking about working in the gifts of the Spirit like this. And I thought Lee last week in the 11 a.m. did this well when she kind of just came up, if you were in the 90, you weren't here, but just had this, you know, word from the Lord about staying the course. But she just said it really well, like, this might be for one person. I just feel like, you know, I can't really shake this word, and I just want to make sure I share it. And then, you know, even felt like she needed to sing these couple lines from Psalm 23. And she had, you know, asked me about it before during the service, and I was like, are you sure you need to sing it? And she's like, yeah, I just feel like the Lord's saying to sing it. And I'm like, all right, there's freedom to try and to work through this, and if God is speaking, he will speak through people. So let's just see what the Lord might want to do. So we want to create a safe and open environment where we can grow in the gifts of the Spirit and the freedom to try and excel in the gifts. And the beautiful thing is when we all agree together as a community of people that this is the way we're going to do things, we create this great freedom to try to operate in the gifts. Even if it's new for you, something you don't fully understand, that there's a freedom to try, to work at it, to kind of get better at it together, because we know that God wants this for the church, where it's okay to make mistakes, and we're all going to be forgiving and understanding that we're not going to get it perfect all the time, but we kind of have this understanding with each other that we're all trying to hear from God. And this teaching applies, you know, to all the gifts, right? The only way to grow in the gifts is to try. To try. In Romans 12, about the gifts, Paul says, we have all these different gifts, If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, give generously. If it's lead, do it diligently. If it's showing mercy, hey, do that cheerfully. So if you want to grow in the gift of giving, Paul says, well, just start taking some risks. When God puts that little nudge on your heart, just exercise faith and see what happens. Try to excel in the gifts. If you feel God calling you to serve in a ministry, but you're worried about your ability or the time commitment or the sacrifice or whatever it might be, just if the Lord is leading, just try. Try and see what happens to excel in the gifts. We have to exercise those spiritual gift muscles. So let me just put out a couple needs in the hopes you'll pray for the greater gifts needed and that the Spirit will then distribute as the Spirit determines. So in terms of the gifts of serving, just give some examples. We're expanding all of our areas of serving as the church as we continue to grow. So greeters, hosts, we're adding security, coffee volunteers as we expand all of that. So if the Spirit is equipping you to serve, there are opportunities to try. How about teaching, leading, and encouragement? Well, we're always open to more musicians who help lead our service, to kids workers. Our preteen age group is really growing, and we need teachers and leaders to work with them. Youth leaders on Tuesday night, and maybe say, that couldn't possibly be me, but I do feel like God's saying something. Just try. Try to excel in the gifts. Maybe guidance, helps, or administration, as 1 Corinthians says here. We're looking to expand our good food program on Thursdays. So we're maybe looking for maybe somebody who can be a coordinator for that, someone who's kind of all in on that ministry to provide leadership so we can begin to expand our reach in the community in meeting food needs. Two big needs we have are kind of facility oversight and legal help and things like that with property and certifications and applications and paperwork type of stuff. And that's the administrative gift that Paul talks about, and maybe that's you, and you can exercise that gift. If it's showing mercy, then show mercy. We have care homes where you can show mercy to people there. Our breakfast program that takes place every single day, good food distribution. We sponsor two kids in Cambodia together as a church, and maybe just want to be the representative of the church and write the letters to the kids there and receive the letters and kind of communicate. There are just all kinds of options. So we're going to take some time just to pray about this and seek the gifts and ask for the equipping of the Holy Spirit and practice trying to excel in the gifts that build up the church.